be there for a while, but I'm going to give you a head start. I don't see the offering plates. I guess you guys are on the ball. I tell you what. Turn to Romans chapter 8 again. It'll take me about two pages to get there. If you read the news at all or watch the news, and I don't do a whole lot of that because it just is so discouraging, but you know that we're living in troubling times. Homes are in turmoil. Over half the marriages in America end up in divorce. Many people are living together without the benefit of marriage, so we don't even know all those statistics. There are many children in rebellion against their parents, and they're battling in the home. Our churches are in turmoil. Churches are fighting and fussing and feuding, and churches are splitting, and we're having all kinds of issues there. Society is in turmoil. I mean, about every day there's something you read in the news about a police shooting or a policeman shooting somebody, and they're thinking it wasn't right, and rioting, and who matters and who doesn't matter. Don't we all matter? I mean, nations are in turmoil. Nations going to battle every day. We may not know about it, but it's going on all over this world. Let me ask you a question. Is there a solution for all this turmoil? Now, I know some of you have already jumped ahead, and you're thinking about the final solution. When Jesus Christ, the righteous, comes to rule and to reign, and he sets all of this straight. Now, that is going to happen, no doubt about that. But what about today? Is there a solution today for troubled marriages? Is there a solution for troubled homes? For troubled churches? For troubled nations, for a troubled society? I think there is. I think there is. And I want to give you the answer in one word. And that word is, now Terry held up the word of God, and that's part of it. And now, by the way, before I say this word, I don't want you to think that I'm a hippie, you know. And I've been out in Denver, you know, recently, and, you know, you're going to get concerned about that. I did not buy any marijuana, don't worry, okay? I was not affected by that. But I really think that the solution for your home problems, the solution for this church's problems, for the solution for our nation's problems, is for people to love one another. Love one another. Because, hi. Brief announcement from my daughter. I better make this or I'll be disowned. She needs help in four-year-olds just during church. Just during church. Is there a lady that could help? Thank you. Appreciate that. Good. All right. How did I do, Caleb? Report back that I did a great job, okay? Good. My lesson this morning is entitled, two words. Can anybody guess what it is? Thank you. Very good, Tim. Love works. Love works. Now, right off the top, I think it's very important that we define what love is. Because if you're thinking about the world's love, human love, that doesn't work. In fact, we've talked about this in the past. There are several words for love. One is eros, from what we get the word erotic. And the erotic love is a totally selfish love. What can I get? Now, that kind of love may spark a relationship, but hallelujah, you've been married for a while, that love won't keep it together. That love is not going to solve the problems. That is a selfish getting love. We also talk about the word phileo. That's a nice Greek word. Eros is also a Greek word. The word phileo, the city of brotherly love. Boy, is that a misnomer. How many have been to Philadelphia? Did you find that to be the city of brotherly love? I don't think so. But you know, this is a mutual love. Tim and I, we have phileo love. You know, I love him, he loves me. As long as he's nice to me, I'm nice to him. It's kind of a give and take, 50-50 kind of thing. Some marriages are that way. I heard of one just recently that was that way. And, you know, he quit doing this, so she quit doing that, and he quit doing this, so she quit doing... And it was a very conditional love. That love won't solve these problems. We need a divine love, and that is that agape love. And that love is... I'll just throw it out to you. What kind of love is God's love? Unconditional, that's good. What else? Sacrificial, that's a key word, isn't it? Now, the Word of God says that God is love. Twice in 1 John chapter 4, it says God is love, and it is that word agape. And this is the very character of God, and this is that sacrificial, unselfish love. We'll go back to Tim and myself, and we have this good relationship. There comes a day when I don't respond correctly to Tim, because I just had that phileo love, and I said, you know what, Tim didn't call me. He didn't tell me about that. So I get upset, but you know what, Tim has God's love, which is unconditional. And he says, you know what, I'm going to continue to love that guy, even though he doesn't respond the way he should. That's the sacrificial love. That is God's love. Now, we find a record of that love. You're in Romans chapter 8. Look at the end of the chapter, verse 35. Romans 8, 35, and it says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Now, if this is erotic love or phileo love, lots of things will. But this is agape love. This is God's love. Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword, as it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long, we are accounted as sheep for the slaughter, nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Now listen, for I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God. Now, I want that to sink in. You've heard those verses before. But you may be here this morning and saying, you know what, I've had some things happen in my life. How could a loving God allow that to happen to me? And we conclude wrongly that God does not love us. Wait a minute. What did Paul say? Paul said, nothing. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. Wow. That's amazing love. God's love is unconditional. God loves us no matter what. Now, here's an amazing thing. If Tim, I'm picking on Tim today. I don't know why. I'm bigger than he is. That's why. I can take him. All right? If Tim and I have that kind of love, and again, I do something that is not right, and Tim says, you know what, I love you like God loves you, it's unconditional, doesn't matter what you do, what you do does not affect how much I love you. Now that's God's love. I think there are times we think when we obey God, he loves us more. Have you ever thought that? I'm going to obey God so he'll love me more. Well, if that's the case, then God's love is conditional. Now, the flip side of that is, if I disobey God, God loves me less. Neither of those statements are true. God's love is unconditional. God loves you no matter how you are, no matter what you do, God still loves you. That's amazing love. Now, we've defined it. How did God demonstrate it? Now turn to 1 John chapter 4 real quickly. 1 John chapter 4. Because, see, I can talk about God's love, but has anybody here seen God? Please don't raise your hand. Okay. Okay. You know, the Bible says God loved us, but how did God show us? How did he demonstrate that love for us? Look in 1 John and chapter 4, verse 9. In this was manifested the love of God toward us. All right, he's going to tell us. How did God show us his love? Because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Now, I want you to stop and think about this. And if you're a believer, we need to be reminded of what Jesus Christ, what God did. God loved you so much. Now, think about this. Jesus Christ in heaven, all the glories of heaven, sinless, no sin in heaven, great worship. Everybody is worshiping, bowing down to the Son. He is God. He has all his divine attributes that are active. Now, God loved you so much that Jesus Christ left heaven, came to this world. He left all of that. He laid aside that and came to this world. And he didn't stop there. He took upon himself human flesh. He was tired. He was hungry. He could not be every place at one time, as he was in heaven. Now, folks, God loved you so much that he left heaven's glory in the form of Jesus Christ, and he came into this world, and he lived in this world for you and for me for 30 years. Now, think about that, folks. There are times that it's difficult for us to go places and maybe visit places and do different things because of the atmosphere, and we say we don't want to be there. Well, think about God leaving heaven and coming to this world. Why did he do it, Joe? Because you're so good? Because he loved us. Not because I'm so good either. In fact, that's the amazing thing. That God would love me. I know me. You don't. You think you do. But I know myself. And you know yourself. And yet God loved you that much. That is amazing love. In Philippians 2, chapter 6, verse 6, it says, who being in the form of God, this is Jesus Christ, he was in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. He was God. Okay? But it says, he made himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of man. Wow, what sacrifice. But there's another way he shows us his love, and that's, you're in 1 John 3. Look in verse chapter 3 and verse 16. Chapter 3 and verse 16. What's the second word of the verse? Perceive. Same idea, isn't it? To manifest, to understand. Hereby perceive we the love of God. How do you know how much God loved you? Because he laid down his life for us. Wow. Amazing love. In 1 John 4:10, it says, herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Boy, there's a nice word. Help me, some of you theologians. What is a propitiation? What's that? Very good. You and we deserve the wrath of God because of our sin. Every lost person is under the wrath of God. Now, it's just amazing to me to think about the fact that when Jesus Christ came into this world, he lived the perfect life, he went to the cross, and he died for sin. And I'm just amazed by this, folks, that God loved me so much that when Jesus Christ hung on that tree, every one of my sins was placed on the Lord Jesus Christ. He didn't die for his own sin. You know that. He was sinless. Jim, every one of your sins was placed on Jesus Christ. Scott, every one of your sins, every one was placed on Jesus Christ. James, every one of your sins was placed on Jesus Christ. David, every one of your sins. Every sin of all mankind placed on the Lord Jesus Christ. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. All we like sheep have gone astray and turned his own way, and he hath laid all our iniquities on him. Wow. What a thought. One of my favorite verses in Scripture, 2 Corinthians 5:21. For he, that's God, hath made him, Jesus Christ, to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God. What a great truth. This morning in the church service, the choir is going to sing, "It was for me he cried, for me he died, for me he shed his blood upon a tree. It was for me he came, for me his shame, for me, oh praise his name, it was for me." Think about that. What am I hearing? I don't know. I'm hearing things again. And when God took your sin, think about it, folks. All the wrath of God that you deserve was laid on Jesus Christ. Wow. That is love. That's God's love. What a Savior. My. Now, we've seen the definition of love. We've seen the demonstration of love. Thirdly, God demands us to have that kind of love. Now, that's incredible to think about. How in the world can a sinful, error-prone, wicked person like me love like God? How is it possible? Now listen to what God says. You're still in 1 John. You can look in 1 John chapter 4. And look in verse 7. And he says, "Beloved, let us love one another." In verse 11. "Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another." Verse 21. "And this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God love his brother also." Now, hallelujah, folks. This means God wants Tim to love me like God loved him. And God wants me to love Tim like God loved me. What in the world? How is it possible? Now, if God commands it, it has to be possible. How is it possible for me as a human being, frail and faulty, how is it possible for me to love like God loves? Well, a couple things. He says in 1 John 4:7, you're there again. Look back at verse 7. "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God." Here's the key. "And everyone that loveth is" what? "Born of God." How is it possible for you and me to love like God? What's the first step? Salvation. Salvation. That's right. Sure. Experience and accept God's love. When we get saved, folks, some amazing things take place. In 2 Peter 1:4, it says we become partakers of the divine nature. When you get saved, a new seed of life is planted within you, and God comes to indwell you in the person of the Holy Spirit. An amazing thing takes place. He begins to change you and make you like God. You say, "Gary, boy, I want to love like God loves. I want that sacrificial love." Well, you got to be saved. Okay? You cannot love like God loves if you're not a child of God. If you don't have that divine indwelling, if you don't have that relationship to God, you can't love like this. It's not possible humanly. Well, you can do the erotic kind of love, you can do the phileo kind of love, but you can't have this kind of love unless you are a child of God. Unless you've been born again. And that's exactly what he tells us there. Everyone that loveth is born of God. Now you could say, "Well, I'm going to argue with that. I think I can love like that without God." Well, then you're going to argue with God. Because God says you can't. You've got to be born of God to love like that. And so many of us, and we could go around starting with Mike, and we could give testimony of the day that we realized we were sinners on our way to hell. And we realized, Jim, for the first time, that God loved us in spite of our sin. And that he loved us so much, Terry, that he sent his only begotten son, Jesus Christ, to die for us. And you accepted that. You accepted God's love and you became a child of God. Let me ask you a question. How many of you have been saved for 30 years or longer? 30 years or longer. Lots of us. Now, okay, so you've got some experience here. Now, Jeff's visiting. I'll ask a visitor a question, okay? You ready? This is deep. When you got saved, okay, now you got the Holy Spirit of God. God is love. Did you just automatically become this big, loving guy and wonderful and loved everybody perfectly? No. Now, he'll probably never come back after having made that public statement. All of us would have to testify that. Just because we get saved, it doesn't mean we naturally are become loving people. Now, we have the potential, but we still have the old flesh. And what does it produce? Let me give you a list of the things your flesh produces. Hatred, variance, which is debating and arguing. Emulations, which is jealousy, wrath, literally breathing hard. Ever had that? If you been there, okay? That's what your flesh produces. Strife, which is fighting. Sedition, which is division. That's what your flesh produces. Now, obviously, this is old hat for some of you, but you know the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians 5:21. And how does the verse start? For the fruit of the Spirit is love. And you realize that the Spirit of God begins to work in your life to make you the kind of loving person that God wants you to be. Now, there are people in this classroom who are believers. You've been saved for a long time. But if you're not spirit-controlled, you're not going to be loving. You're just going to act like you did before. Now, how do you get spirit-controlled? If the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, meekness, faith, and all those things. And God commands us to love like He loves. How can you become spirit-controlled? Just because you're saved doesn't mean you're spirit-controlled. Well, you have an experience. Put your hand in the radio, right? What are you, Jim? Okay. How do you keep it going? Terry, you can do your... Hold up your Bible again, Terry. Thank you. A spirit-controlled person is a Bible-controlled person. And the way to be spirit-controlled, to be loving, is to spend time in the Word of God. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Be not drunk with wine or his excess, but be filled or controlled by the Spirit of God. Let me ask you, if you're a believer today, are you a loving person? If I were to ask your husband or your wife or your best friend and say, do they practice God's love? Now, if you're not in the Word of God every day, and applying the Word of God and praying and spending time with God every day, I know you're not. Because that's the key. That's the key. So we've seen love defined, okay? We know what it is. We've seen it demonstrated. We have seen it demanded. God demands us to love. And finally, and I struggled a little bit with this last point, but for if you're taking notes, it's love's dominance. Love's dominance. And I didn't even know some of this stuff. I mean, I'd read it, but as I was studying, I thought, wow, that's amazing. Because in 1 Corinthians 13:8, which is the charity or love chapter, it says, charity never faileth. Now, there are some things that are going to fail. He says, where there are prophecies, they're going to fail. We don't need prophecies now. We've got the written word of God. Where there be tongues, they shall cease. Where there be knowledge, special knowledge from God, it's going to vanish away. Why? We've got the word of God. But you know what's not going to vanish away? You know what's not going to fail? Love. Love is eternal. Love is not going to pass away. It's going to be needed at all time. Now listen to this verse. This is also 1 Corinthians 13. And now abideth faith. That's pretty important, isn't it? Hope. It's pretty important. And charity. Now, if you didn't know the Word of God, which one do you think you say as a believer is the most important? Well, undoubtedly, faith. I mean, we walk by faith. We're saved by faith. Now, faith is crucial, obviously. Hope is crucial. But it's interesting to me that in this passage, what does he say? The greatest of these is charity or love. Let me give you a couple more. Turn to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians, back over a couple books there. Colossians chapter 3. Philippians, Colossians, chapter 3, verse 12. Colossians 3:12. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved. Now, these are the things we're supposed to add, okay? Bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even so Christ forgave you, so also do ye. Now, notice verse 14. Those are all good things, aren't they? Be forgiving, be long-suffering, be humble, be kind, be meek. Look at verse 14. And above all these, put on charity. Now, why is that? If you have God's love, won't you also have bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another? Let me give you one more. In Romans 13:8, let me just flip to that and I'll read it for you. If you can get there in a hurry, that's fine. Romans 13:8. I'll wait till you get there. Romans 13:8. Okay, since many are turning. Romans 13:8. You got it? It says, owe no man anything but to love one another. Now listen, for he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. Now the law, if we think of the Ten Commandments, we think of that obviously as the law. And there are four that have to do with God, six that have to do with man. And he said, if you love one another, you have fulfilled the law, the last six parts. Now look what he says. For this thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet. There be any other commandment is briefly commanded in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Isn't that amazing? If you love your neighbor, you won't defraud your neighbor. You won't kill your neighbor. Okay? Whether you feel like it or not, you won't do it. Okay? Love sums up the whole law. Isn't that amazing? Now, it is the top thing God says I want you to do. He says, hey, I want you to love one another. Now, let me give you a couple other thoughts here and we'll be done. In 1 Corinthians 16:14, it says, let all things, you got that word? Terry, you got that? All things be done with, any idea what the word is? Charity. Let all things be done with charity. Wow. All things. in 1 Peter 4:8, and it says, "And above all these things, have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover the multitude of sins." Look, if you're having trouble in your home, the problem is a love problem. Well, if you knew how she treated me, wait a minute, God's love is unconditional. Well, if you knew what he said, he leaves his dirty dishes out all the time after he has his midnight snack and makes me clean them up. I just don't appreciate that. He won't pick up his clothes off the floor and put them in the hamper. He won't do this and won't do that, or she doesn't do this or what. Hey, wait a minute. Where is God's love? Husbands, we are commanded to love our wives, Ephesians 5:25. Wives are commanded to lovingly submit to their husbands. Parents are commanded to lovingly nurture, bring their children up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. Children are commanded to lovingly honor and obey their parents. You say, "I've got marriage troubles." I got the answer. Love works. Love works. In our society today, in churches today, we could go on and on and on. In a church that is full of people who love one another like God loves them, you don't have problems. You don't have bickering and fighting and someone sitting on this side because they don't like somebody who sits on that side. And people upset because of the color of the carpet or the color of the room or the lack of color or whatever. Love works. You say, "Well, Gary, I have tried and tried and tried and tried to please him, and it's impossible." And vice versa. "I have tried to make her happy, and I've done this and I've done that," but have you really loved them? "Well, if they..." No. That's not God's love. So about a month ago, when I had a teacher's meeting with our adult teachers and told them about Love Works Sunday, I kind of just preached for about 10 minutes about love working. Folks, this is what we need in our homes today. People who love each other like God loved them. This is what we need in our churches today. This is what we need in our society today. And by the way, our society can't have that kind of love unless we give them the gospel and they get saved. And we love them like God loved us. Do you see, folks, how this whole deal, love works? We were visiting, my wife and I were handing out invitations in it's Suncrest Village, I think it's called over here. We thought there were like 10 apartments. There's like 5,000 apartments. We ran out of cars. We walked all day. Anyway, we were really suffering for the Lord. It was hard. And we met a pastor's wife, and they had been separated, and she didn't tell us the whole story. She's going to a good church in Kingsport. And she saw the card, and she said, "Wow." She said, "You know what? The reason you're here is because love works. Love works. Love does work, and love will cause you to work." Let me ask you, folks, have you accepted God's love? Are you a child of God? That's where it starts. That's where it starts. If you haven't, boy, receive Christ today. He loves you. He loved you so much, he sent Christ for you. If you are a believer today, are you struggling at home? I've never done any marriage counseling where people came in and the man said, "You know what? This whole thing is my fault." No, they have a long list of things that are her fault. And she has a long list of things that are his fault. And the answer, folks, is for us to love unconditionally. To sacrifice what we want to meet their needs no matter what they do. That's the answer. That's the cure. Love works. It works at Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. It'll work at your home. It'll work in this society. It'll work in this world. Love works. God commands us as believers to love one another. How you doing? Is your home a place unconditional sacrificial love? Is our church a place full of God's love? Now, I know we need to take a stand against things. I know that. If you love your child unconditionally, you don't just say, well, Johnny, if you want to play in the road, hallelujah, go ahead, because I love you unconditionally. But folks, we need to realize that what we need is God's love. God's love. Unconditional, sacrificial love. And if you'll practice it, hallelujah, it works. It works. Lord, we do thank you for your word this morning. God, you know our needs, you know our hearts. Help us to take these truths and apply them and to have changed lives, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you, folks. So good.